Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the final hour of the program, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Last call for phone calls, 1-800-636-8686. If you slide in now, I have an opportunity to connect with you in 20 minutes because 40 minutes from now, we wrap up the program talking college football with Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. More of your tweets on the way. That's B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's. I think it's a fascinating time in the NBA, so let's bring in one of the best basketball journalists in the business. I enjoyed Mark Medina's work when he was based here in Southern California. We did some TV together. He's gone national. You can read him in USA Today. He's covering the NBA embedded in the bubble in Orlando. Mark, it's been a long time. How are you? And here's the dreaded two-part question. Where specifically are you inside the bubble?
Yeah, well, Brian, long time no chat. It's a pleasure jumping back on board and looking forward to it. I'm good, all things considered. You know, the state of our world is what it is, but I'm healthy, working. I'm at the NBA Disney campus in the bubble. I'm actually outside of the arena of one of the venues here. I'm going to soak in the heat in the box, and apologies if my voice is a little muffled, but I got to wear a mask because those are the rules, but I'm making it work. It's been fun.
Well, thank you for painting the word picture. That's terrific for our audience to get that kind of context. And since you are an excellent reporter, I know you don't want to make this about you. You're covering games in Orlando, but can you give us a larger sense of your experience, what it's been like to be there, your daily routine? Are you getting involved in any of those legendary pickleball matchups?
I haven't made the cut yet for the pickleball matchup, but I've been here since July 12th. That's been just over 3 weeks. The first week, I had to be in quarantine, literally in my room the entire day, because they wanted to make sure that everyone was safe here. So during that time, I had three meals delivered outside my door. I was getting tested outside my door, and I was doing what we've been doing for the last few months, working at home, doing Zoom calls, doing phone interviews, writing, you know, doing different TV and radio appearances. And so after that week, thankfully, I continued to test negative, so I was let out of quarantine. And since then, I've been going to games, going to practices. It's still far from normal, obviously, because we all have to wear masks and we got to follow the social distancing rules. They put beepers on our credentials, and those beepers go off if we're standing, you know, within 6 feet of someone else. So there are a lot of checks and balances in making sure that, we're not putting anyone in harm's way. But I think the fact that I can see the ball bouncing again, I'm seeing live games, I'm seeing people in person, that's a huge upgrade compared to what's been going on the last few months.
Talking hoops with Mark Medina of USA Today. Mark, while we were starting this conversation, I just saw a little news update on one of the national cable networks. LeBron James not going to play tonight for the Lakers as they take on the Rockets, officially out with the sore groin. But we know the Lakers have already locked up the top seed in the West, so let's spin it forward. LeBron is going to show up when it counts. Anthony Davis has been erratic in Orlando, as you know. Two extraordinary games, two flat games. But beyond that, how much do you think the absence of Avery Bradley and waiting for Rajon Rondo to get healthy has impacted the Lakers' offensive sink? They've been very inefficient.
Yeah, you can't discount their presence. Those are two veteran guys. Avery Bradley not only was their best perimeter defender, but he was a floor spacer, a slasher of the basket, a good outside shooter. Rajon Rondo, look, he's not what he was in the Boston Celtics when he won a championship in 2008, but he's still a steady vet that knows how to organize the offense. So I don't want to discount those things, but I would largely attribute the Lakers' inconsistency to the fact that, you know, they already have the number one seed locked up, and so there's not as much of an incentive to play with the full effort, play with full guys. They lost to Oklahoma City yesterday, but they weren't playing a full rotation because they have a back-to-back tonight against Houston. As much as, you know, I don't think the medical staff's lying about injuries, but no one's ever fully 100%. So I think if this game mattered, guys like LeBron and others would be suiting up. So I don't think that long-term there should be some concerns. I still think at the end of the day that as long as LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, that they will have more dominant performances than subpar. And I've also tried to remind myself, when you're looking at guys like Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo, that illustrates the caution that I would urge NBA fans to have of, like, analyzing teams' depth charts. Every team has been having a fluid roster because of different injuries, players leaving the campus because of family situations. That's almost become like the stock market for better and for worse. And so I think with that, as long as a specific team star is healthy and available, they will be fine. And so far, no team has suffered that except for, you know, the Pelicans, where they had Zion Williamson. He took a leave of absence because of a family situation, and that really put them behind the eight ball because of his quarantine and the fact that they're trying to, you know, fight for an eighth playoff spot while also managing his minutes. But everyone else, including the Lakers, for all the imperfections of the roster, they still have had their main healthy guys available.
Well, since you're using the stock market analogy, hopefully the NBA is like the NASDAQ and it'll keep going up and up. We're talking hoops with Mark Medina of USA Today. He joins us live from the bubble in Orlando. Let's spotlight another team you know very well because you covered them here in Southern California, the Clippers. You got Paul George, and if we're going to project a matchup between the Lakers and Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, I'm wondering who the Lakers are going to have to guard Paul George. But if we get to a situation where the Clippers try to use their depth as an advantage, Mark, do you have a sense of Doc Rivers getting a handle on his rotation? Because Clipper fans are going to freak out if a guy like Reggie Jackson shoots them out of a playoff series.
Yeah. It's a very tough question to answer because they've obviously struggled in the short term with having Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell in and out of the lineup because of personal family situations. We know Lou Williams, yeah, he came back after taking that ill-advised trip to Magic City. That cost them additional 10 days in quarantine. But, you know, I think Doc, through this whole season, has tried to hold on to the idea that at the end of the day, health and experience is going to be the calling card that gets through the season. But because of all those circumstances earlier in the year where Kawhi was being load managed, Paul missed the first few games because of his offseason injury, and other guys having injuries, they haven't had a lot of on-court time together, even in normal circumstances. And that's where I would put the Lakers having an edge, not just with the team, but with their respective, you know, duo of superstars. But it's very hard to read because I think that, going back to the stock market analogy, these lineup fluctuations are going to be changing throughout the playoffs. So I think when it comes to the Lakers and the Clippers, look, I'm giving an edge to the Lakers, but they are mostly evenly matched. I think it's a seven-game series. It's a coin flip of going down a number of possessions. So all those big intangibles, I think, could tilt the difference one way or the other. And the problem, given that the situation we're in, it's very hard to predict how some of those intangibles might play out.
We sound like Dave Portnoy with all this stock market chatter. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, chatting with Mark Medina of USA Today. So no LeBron, but the game goes on. It's the Lakers and the Rockets in Orlando today. Mark, if you go back to the Rockets' quality win over Milwaukee, a lot of people were using that as a jumping-off point to try to project to the postseason, saying, okay, Russell Westbrook is now distributing the basketball a little bit more. James Harden is playing some defense. As you try to extrapolate from what we've seen from the small sample size, how much are you buying Houston come playoff time?
I'm definitely buying Houston as a disruptor. And look, if they win an NBA championship, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm also not putting my money on them. I'm still going chalk with Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks. But I think why the Rockets should feel comfortable with themselves is you have James Harden doing what he normally does, and he took care of himself during this quarantine to make sure his conditioning was good. Russell Westbrook doesn't seem like he's missed a step at all, even though he missed time from his positive COVID test. And look, Harden and Westbrook have strengths and weaknesses in their game, but I think they complement each other well because it allows the Rockets to play two different styles of basketball, where you have a deliberate style with Harden just dribbling out, going ISO, shooting threes, and then you have Westbrook pushing the tempo, driving the basket, and since he doesn't have a three-point shot, he'll distribute to other shooters, And the two other things here, because everyone else's roster is so fluid with injuries, I think you can make the case that the Rockets can absorb those a little bit easier because they have so many potential shooters that can knock down the three. So in their case, they're missing Eric Gordon. I think it'll be fine enough because they have so much outside shooting depth that it could be something that can carry them over. And I think when you're dealing with such unconventional times where there might be other teams having injuries or dealing with conditioning issues and chemistry, the Rockets have the continuity. It's easier to keep the three-point ball moving than worrying about conditioning during these times, that they are primed to be a disruptor. But I still go back to Lakers, Clippers. As long as their duos are healthy, they're going to be the teams that wind up competing for the title at the end.
Mark Medina, USA Today, is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. We have gone in-depth on the Western Conference, so let's be balanced with a thought on the East. I think Giannis is in line to win his second straight MVP award. Question comes down to complimentary players. Chris Middleton's been elite, but I'm not sure if I'm going to buy Eric Bledsoe and the rest of the guys in Milwaukee to be a championship club. So if we believe depth is more important than ever, Mark, this year, how do you see Boston and the team that we're largely overlooking, at least most casual fans, the reigning champs from Toronto?
Yeah, very good questions. I'm still giving the edge to the Milwaukee because Giannis is one of the best players in the league. He's deserving of an MVP award. I personally am giving it to LeBron because there's been a lot of extra things that he's had to deal with this season. But Giannis, he's the best defensive player, best big man in the league. But the problem to what you pointed to is he might have depth, but he doesn't have a number two guy. Chris Middleton's more of a number three. And so I think that's where teams like the Raptors could take advantage. I'm higher on the Raptors than on the Celtics because they have so much good championship equity, even when they lost Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green from last year. And they know how to win ugly. They know how to muck up a playoff series. They're grinders. They're very good defensively. And they have a lot of guys that can thrive in pressure-packed moments. And so I would rank in order with the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and then maybe Philly only because, they have potential on paper, but they've also experienced some problems here with Joel Embiid having some injury issues, and now we just learned about Ben Simmons being out because of his injured kneecap. But I think it's going to be Milwaukee and Toronto to compete for it.
Mark, we've come a long way from being guests on Going Rogan here in Southern California. Congratulations on your success. Love reading all your work. Stay safe and have a great day and enjoy what should be a scintillating postseason in the bubble in Orlando.
Hey, well, congratulations on your success, too. You're killing it, and I'm happy and honored to be on your show here. And be safe to you and yours moving forward.
Thank you, Mark. Mark Medina, USA Today. I am merely keeping the chair warm because when I try to think about my game plan heading into this wonderful opportunity to sit in for Jim, there have been three versions of the Brian Weber show. They've all been canceled. I'm like the McLean Stevenson of fill-in hosts. Garrett got that reference. Another contemporary reference from a man who's 900 years old. Jim enjoying his vacation. Although, because he's always giving of himself, follow Jim on Instagram. Jim is having a great time in Wisconsin, giving updates as to what he is doing on the lake, the culinary fair. And since we're talking about IG Nation, let's bring in a man who has now removed the curtain on Instagram. The executive producer of this program, Adam Hawk, standing by for a Tiger Woods PGA Championship update. Adam, we're not friends off the air. I mean, the greatest lesson I was ever taught when I moved to LA about show business, once you can fake sincerity, you've got it made. But we've worked together since 2013 when I wouldn't hold the door open for you at another national network. But to be totally transparent, we're not friends on social media because I don't know how to use Snapface or whatever it's called. But I did notice when I was checking out Jim Rome's latest postings on the gram, You have changed your status. You used to be private, cloaked in all of the intrigue and hiding in the shadows. You are now public now. What was the motivation beyond being a public figure, of course?
I don't know. I just felt like Instagram was a good way to, I don't know, showcase your life, you know? And being private, it just it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't growing, so I lifted the curtain. And I know what you're getting at. You probably think that me changing the status from private to public had something to do with me trying to sell golf shirts.
No, I would never be that cynical.
And yeah, the truth is it had everything to do with it. Okay, Brian? I don't know why you brought me on to admit that, but thank you.
No, no. When I was thinking about privacy, would anyone wearing that ridiculous putrid shirt try to be private? You're not hiding in that shirt, pal.
You're not hiding in that pinstripe mob boss cheap Tony Soprano ripoff jacket. Now, I know that this show has some preemption sometime on television, but did you not hear that we're on TV all day today?
Mm.
And you just decided to wear that oversized pinstripe. Where's your gold tooth and your pinky ring? Well, do you own a strip club in some seedy mall where you're there during daylight hours collecting money for hits that have been properly executed by the mob?
Okay, a couple things. It's a rental. It's due back at 12:30 local time.
I don't think they want it back.
Believe me, it's a tough economy. You should know in the apparel business. Although, and there is going to be a Tiger Woods update, the point wasn't just to ridicule your pseudo friend here. How are you doing with inventory? Because as a daily listener and viewer, enjoying everything in the jungle, I heard you last week talking about the laws of supply and demand because somebody was trying to order a shirt, and I have ordered a shirt and paid full freight. No promo code for Uncle B. Webb here, and you were temporarily out of the product. Have you restocked?
We restocked over the weekend. We have every single one of our collection pieces in stock now, so we're good to go.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you sell a shirt with shoulder pads? Because if not, I'm not interested.
No, we don't sell any shirts that look like that jacket you're wearing right now. But if you wanted to play offensive lineman now that the NFL is losing players at a record clip because of the coronavirus, you could step right in. You're already in uniform.
Okay.
You're a helmet short of being on the O-line.
Well, this is a helmet. You know that. You saw me put on the hair appliance before the program. I am fortunate to be back on Monday. I will have our outstanding TV crew find the tweet in which I posted a photo of the last time I played competitive sports. Eighth grade, I own a grammar school in New Rochelle, New York. And I'll debunk you about my lack of athletic ability. And we'll just do a side-by-side comparison. How big are my shoulder pads today versus 1982? How's Tiger doing? Can we get some sports in here other than the ridicule that keeps coming my way?
Tiger is one under. He has made the turn at one under. He's putted the ball extremely well today, aside from two lip outs, but that'll happen. He's wayward off of the tee box after his first four holes. He's having trouble finding the fairway, and that has had him scrambling for par most of the way. He came out on fire. As most people do when Tiger starts quick, is you start thinking about, okay, is he going to win number 16? Is he going to win number 83? He's now four off the pace. He was leading this tournament after four holes. He's now four off the pace. And I think everyone is just kind of holding their breath that he steadies the ship and gets it in at one or two under par, sets himself up for a good Friday, can make the weekend and possibly get hot.
Why couldn't you have just given me the 20-second synopsis about your Instagram decision and then pivoted to the golf coverage? As the producer of this program, the executive producer, why did you make that editorial choice?
Well, you made fun of the shirt I'm wearing today while wearing that jacket, and so...
Listen, this jacket costs more than your car, all right?
Well, my car doesn't cost much because it's my wife's car and she paid for it. Okay?
All right. I will use this... watch? Illusion knowing you won't get it. You are the Mr. Blackwell of the jungle.
You're right that I don't get that at all. Well,
you work in the fashion business, so why would you want to know somebody who built his career around apparel? Thank you, Adam, for destroying the program, but what did I expect? When your moniker is less than zero, you live up to the hype. 1-800-636-8686. On Monday, I'm going into the closet to bring out the double-breasted Armani from 1998 and the gold chains. But our immediate future, in 20 minutes, we're talking college football. Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Straight ahead, it's a Seattle story. Why is Russell Wilson Mr. Unlimited? Details coming up. I'm Brian Weber. My self-esteem continues to be destroyed. In for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
And it's over just that quickly.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber, in for the Hall of Famer Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to chat with me with a phone call, we're going to do it on Monday because I don't have time to get you into the rotation today. But tomorrow, because they are more skilled, certainly more humorous, definitely more talented, the Sklar Brothers will be open to taking your phone calls. My favorite guest hosts in the jungle. That's on the way, and I'm back with you Monday and Tuesday. Coming up in 15 minutes, looking forward to our college football conversation. Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Get a few more tweets in, and we're going to talk a little bit more NFL. The key development today, looming at 4 Eastern, that's the deadline for the remaining players who are undecided to make up their mind. Are they going to opt out? The Patriots, as you know, already with 8 notable players deciding not to compete this year, and the loss will be especially felt on defense with no Dante Hightower nor Patrick Chung competing this year. But we'll mix in some levity as well. Russell Wilson is not Mr. Worldwide. Apparently, he's Mr. Unlimited. That's coming up. Got time for a few more tweets. Geoff and Lincoln, if I read this one, you can't tweet me after the program because we'll just go on and on and on down a rabbit hole. We hate the Pelicans. They steal all the good food. Regard, bums at the beach wore IRA using a broken toilet seat as a boogie board. Excellently produced. At SA Sports Honk, I'm a big fan of catfish too. I catch him with my bare hands. Sincerely, Beowulf Minshew. Good callback from yesterday. Ray in SA. Hey, Webs. You ever heard of social distancing? Yours, the microphone. Well played. In fact, that's so good. That is the huge tweet. I will do a 10-second explanation. There is a methodology here, but that is the huge tweet. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. If you're watching on the simulcast, and kudos again for all the great work being done by our talented production team. I have a bit of a radio guy tendency to be focused on the microphone in addition to over-enunciating. So we all have different preferences. For whatever reason, I can never find the sweet spot. And I think by grabbing it as tightly as I can, it's going to make me feel better. Hopefully, I'm giving you more material to take more shots at yours truly. Because I can only aspire to have a life like Russell Wilson. He's got it all, right? Storybook NFL career. Overcame doubts. The pundits said he was too small. Fell to the third round. Since then, it's been all Russ all the time. A Super Bowl ring, yeah. He should have 2, but Malcolm Butler got involved. Taking advantage of the worst play call in football history, although Russ could have made a better decision. A celebrity wife in Ciara. They've been blessed with a new addition. The child that they fittingly recently gave the first name of Wynn. Because forget about that degenerate Charlie Sheen.
Win.
Russell
Win.
Wilson is winning. You might call him Mr. Perfect. But the WWE still owns that trademark for the late Kurt Hennig. But of course, because social media is neither of those words. Rarely social, certainly not traditional media, the internet has decided to go with a different moniker for Russ using his own self-gloss, which I'm going to actually properly refer to this time, because so many people still have way too much time at home and they're looking for something to fill up the hours. Somebody dug up this commercial that Russ starred in just 2 years ago. But probably Wilson wants to forget it. He was shilling for a cell phone company and said it was time to retire the old Dangerous moniker. Instead, Wilson wanted us to call him Mr. Unlimited and then decided to say that handle over and over again in a very strange way.
Hey, guys. Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them I'm unlimited. You know what I
mean? That's annoying. How do we miss that 2 years ago? I guess we had more going on in our lives. Weren't stuck at home, just surfing the internet. Some of you actually had places to go. What was that? Am I supposed to buy a product based on that?
Mr. Unlimited.
Look, if I'm going to be self-critical, I realize that as a broadcaster, occasionally I elongate a word. But even I think that is very limited.
Unlimited.
If he really wanted to move product, he should have been more creative, because when Russ is in the red zone, you can call him Mr. Automatic.
Breaking J News, bulletin glass, the best contestant Brian Gates ever had.
Unlimited.
Mr. Automatic, coming to the first place and that's practice.
Garrett Rich singing Go Cubs Go thinks that Russell Wilson saying unlimited is annoying.
Unlimited.
Baseball season's underway. But go ahead and slot the Cubs in last place. Because Quintana won't be able to play. He just effed his finger up today. They're singing, no Cubs, no. Hey, Cubs, you blow.
So, we can play this for the final 28 minutes of the program. However, it is the latest example of jungle karma, and Jim will keep it going. You know he's undefeated with his hockey picks. He'll be following everything going on in the bubbles in Canada for the Stanley Cup postseason. But if you want more demonstrable proof in jungle karma, since Weird Al Yankovic, our version of him, belted out that ditty, the Cubs have roared into first place, 10-2. But it's the Cubs. They'll fall apart because some things change, but other things stay the same. All right, hit me up on Twitter. I'll check the tweets on the backside of our conversation coming up, or I will get at you on social media after the program. B.W. Weber, Weber with two B's, straight ahead. We're heading on campus. How will college football balance safety with the goal of actually playing on Saturdays? Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, will join us. But first, let's find out how Tiger Woods is doing at the PGA Championship. Time for a sports update. Rich Ackerman has the latest. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome because I'm lousy with time management. I'm the Andy Reid of fill-in hosts. Want to thank the stellar work once more by the full house today. XR4TI, Alvin, Adam, Garrett, getting it done. It's highly appreciated. Sklar Brothers in for Jim tomorrow. I'm back with you Monday and Tuesday. But first, let's focus on college football with an old friend, Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Pete, before we get into the particulars of what's going on in the Power Five, are you going to take shots at me again like you did on Twitter yesterday about my passion for water polo and gymnastics?
I didn't take shots. I'm not dogging you. You just happen to be the only person who makes money off of non-revenue sports. I'm not going to dog your gig for that.
Well, a couple things. The rent don't pay itself, and I do it for the love of the sport. So don't think that I'm a crass person just out there hustling.
Look, I'm an anti-non-revenue sport. I grew up on college campuses around administrators and the whole thing. I have yet to hear a reason why there needs to be non-revenue sports other than my kid got a scholarship to go there because he played X. You know, so Title IX, yes, but as we're seeing, look, you know, the Pac-12 is about to ask for a $1 billion loan.
According to reports, hang on. I work for the Pac-12 Network. I'm speaking for myself, not for the organization. And John Wilner's highly respected, but we don't know that to be true.
Okay, so but at the very least, they could kind of use it, and if nothing else. So let's say they're trying to ask for all this loan money to pay for non-revenue sports that are non-revenue because nobody cares about them enough to go pay money to see them.
Well, that's factually untrue. We'll get to the college football in a moment. I can tell you, as a matter of fact, UCLA Gymnastics routinely gets 5,000-6,000 paying customers at Pauley Pavilion in market number two, Los Angeles. We're not talking about Stillwater, Oklahoma.
But that's not a non-revenue sport then. If it can pay for itself, great. Then you're not a non-revenue sport. Then you can pay for yourself and everything is fine. Look, college is a business. And we're learning this more than ever in this time, and it does actually tie into college football, where now we're starting to learn, look, you know, we have Penn who go into Michigan, who now they're paying $70,000 this year for a streaming service. USC is not sending its students back to campus. So this is all a business. And look, if the UCLA gymnastics can pay for itself, great, perfect. That's how it should work. If it can't, this isn't high school. You don't need after-school activities. So, yeah, pay for yourself, but these schools are your school, the Stanford, which, you know, the school which goes into hock because they had to ditch half of its non-revenue sports because they were going to lose something like $100 million over the next 5 years.
But, Pete, they had a $27 billion endowment they didn't want to touch. Look, why don't we save this for my podcast?
That's not how it works. You can't touch that for sports, but, yes, you are correct.
Okay. Let's save it for my podcast because you know I feel passionately about this. And a final footnote, we call them now the Olympic sports, not non-revenue. You're stuck in 1985.
Here's the thing. You and I have to get into a whole podcast about what a bunch of hoo-ha the Olympics are. That's an entirely different topic. That's the biggest swindle in all of sports.
Oh, Pete,
but I completely digress.
Okay. Can we talk about college football? Because last time I checked,
not?
You work for a website called collegefootballnews.com. Pete,
that's why you called.
I understand. Thank you for your availability and for being cantankerous. Why the ACC and Big Ten are going to try to play a non-conference game? Because they can. But what's the deeper motivation? Because if you're looking around the nation and the other Power Five conferences are dumping the non-conference matchups, primarily to save money, why is the ACC, along with the Big 12, trying to get this done?
For the absolute life of me, I don't understand why the ACC is doing it. The Big 12, I get it because you only have nine conference teams and you do have the Longhorn Network and you can make money off of that. But the reality is, why are these other conferences ditching non-conference games? Because they don't want to pay, you know, lots of money for that MAC school. Sorry about that little motorcycle flying by. They don't want to pay that MAC school to come and, you know, into a stadium that doesn't have any fans in it. Look, Georgia State, for example, its athletic director is yelling at Alabama, yeah, you're paying us this $1.3 million. And Alabama's like, no, we're not. We're not going to have any revenue this year from fans in the stands. So it's going to be speaking of cantankerous, there's going to be a lot of arguing going on between Group of Five and Power Fives going forward. The ACC, okay, and what stinks about this is, I know the Pac-12 is packing it in, and I know everyone's keeping it in their house, but it would have been nice to see Notre Dame keep the USC game or, you know, Clemson play South Carolina and keep that going. But you know what? In this weirdest of all years, I'm not going to argue about anything. If there's college football at all, okay. Anything that happens in this one weird year, fine. We'll chalk it up to a bad season, and then we'll go off to 2021.
We're going points. Counterpoint with an old friend. Pete and I have been doing this on the radio going back to 2009. Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. I'm glad you allowed me to have some levity in there because, unfortunately, every day it feels like we're encountering challenging news in college football. So let's have some linkage from baseball. we've seen what's happened to the Marlins and the Cardinals. What happens if a team has an outbreak in, say, the SEC? Is it just straight forfeit time? How do you think they're going to navigate all the unknowns?
I have no idea, and more to the point, neither does the SEC.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. You know, this is so weird. Like, literally 36 hours ago, whenever it was, I went to bed thinking, you know what, I'm going to wake up the next morning, and there's a 50-50 shot that the Big Ten says, yeah, we don't have it. We're just going to, you know, we're just going to pack it in, and, you know, we're going to move on to 2021 for the safety of everybody, all that kind of stuff. And what do? I wake up and they're scheduled out. You know, so this is all so fluid. And they, at the very least, they figured out that the schools and the conferences have figured out you've got to build in the buffer game. So, like, the Big Ten, for example, has that week around, I believe it's going to be Thanksgiving week. It's November 28th, where that can kind of fill in the gap. So they're going to try to get, for example, Michigan, Ohio State in relatively early, some of the rivalry games in relatively early, knowing that you can, if you need to, you can push it back to the very end. But look, this is, there's so many different parts here. It all ties into the players who are right. You know, for all the kind of jumbled mess, I'm a players' rights guy, so I'm all for everything they're asking for. But for the jumbled mess that was the Pac-12 letter, what they did wrong and is what the Big Ten players did right is ask for how a third-party representation factor to figure out how to get everyone tested correctly and fairly so they know that their needs are being met here. And that all ties into everything else because, as we're seeing, the conferences are doing the definition of kicking the can down the road, waiting for something to come through, either, you know, better testing or the NFL coming up with a protocol. But you brought up baseball. Well, what do we know now? The NHL and NBA, this thing's working. And baseball, kind of not. And I still said you can lock down schools on a school-by-school basis with an athletic dorm, with sort of a bubble in that way. Look, everyone's going to be taking classes online anyway. Might as well do it this way.
I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, chatting with Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Well, Pete, I think we would agree, barring the monumental shift in various states in the next few weeks, and at that point we're all guessing again, but I'm of the mindset college football at least will start. How confident are you the season will be finished?
I'm confident that it'll start, I'm confident that it'll finish, and I'm confident that it's going to be one big garbled mess in the middle of this year. The key parts of this overall are going to be the optics, and I think you and I live in the, you know, the sports bubble, and we follow and know sports people, and to all of us, it's like, oh my gosh, the optics. If you don't have students on campus, you know, you can't have college football. But to 89% of the normal public who just wants to see their team play on a Saturday, they're like, I don't care. You know, whatever. Just go play college football. Be entertainers for me. I'm sorry the whole, you know, I'm, you know, a human, not an entertainer aspect of this. But, yeah, people want to see these guys play. Of course they want these guys to play safely. But they just want the games. And so I think as long as the administrators can kind of quickly pivot past the idea that you have to have students on campus like normal to have college football, I think this can start. And I do think this is going to end because there is too much money involved at the back end. But in the middle, we're just going to kind of get things. And the analysis I kind of do with this, the analogy I use is like a car race. This year, keep your car on the track. Because as long as you've got the zero positive test, you're going to go up against somebody. Like if you're Vanderbilt and you're playing, you know, Georgia, if you're Vanderbilt, just make sure all your players test negative all the time because eventually you're going to play somebody who's a lot better than you who's going to probably, like you said, probably be able to forfeit. And there you go. Take that win and move on. So just keep everybody as healthy as possible if you're a team and try to keep this season alive for you.
Pete, always a pleasure. Appreciate the spirited exchange as we say goodbye, because I've only mentioned 37 times I've squandered a Stanford education today. I think I was on watching Tiger play and comparing our career arcs. You do realize that $27 billion endowment, let me spit it out, $27 billion endowment at my alma mater, how much do you think that spits off every year in annual revenue? You checked out the stock market recently?
It's insane. Yeah, it's all the way around. But hey, you know what, by the way? I think lifetime I am now 49-0-1 in Stanford mentions every time I've come on with you. So we kept the streak alive. We kept the streak going.
That's why we're friends. Thank you, Pete. Look forward to our next conversation.
Brother.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. The staff looking at me in horror, raising my voice to defend gymnastics, water polo.
Van Buren, she's got it again!
Field hockey and the rest. And a cynic could say, well, you're doing those sports just for a check. Yes, there's compensation. It's a profession. But because I can control my schedule, straight cash, homie, not to get too deep, I really enjoy calling sports that don't get the same kind of attention. Yes, I prefer, as anyone would, to be working at the Rose Bowl with 100,000 fans, especially now with no fans. Take that out of the equation. If I'm covering a gymnastics meet, and I'd love to be a part of the Olympics someday. That's bucket list. Hopefully we have the Olympics. The student-athletes, and they are student-athletes, are so happy to be part of a televised broadcast. It's a very different environment. They're less jaded than Adam Hawk is, half asleep on the other side of the glass. Pete was our huge call. As you get back to business, Granger's there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and much more. Visit Granger.com/recovery. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Van Buren, she's got it again!
That's a water polo call. Download my podcast, radio.com. Voices of the Game with B-Web. Terrific work by our television crew on CBS Sports Network, the XR4TI, Alvin, Adam, and Garrett. Sklar Brothers in tomorrow. I'm back with you Monday and Tuesday. Have a great day. Fabulous weekend. Keep it locked. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio.